Well, you may want to look up and have handy there John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Weddings are great occasions, aren't they? They are long looked forward to, sometimes for years. Young girls dream about their weddings, even what they're going to wear. Parents worry about the cost of their weddings and sometimes try and put some money aside. Lots of preparation goes into weddings. There's not a couple preparing for a wedding who doesn't say, "We never knew how much was involved." I can tell you that I've officiated at many people's weddings, and I hear that line all the time. Lots of emotion goes into weddings. Everyone wants everything to be perfect, don't they? A great beginning to a life together. Now, in Jesus' time, weddings were even bigger occasions than they are in Australia, and the celebrations could actually go on for a week. And something devastating has happened at this wedding where Jesus is a guest. The wine has run out. Now, I don't know how you'd feel if you were organising a wedding and the beer and the wine ran out, but my guess is you'd be pretty embarrassed and worried. And what's more, in that culture, you could have been up for some pretty hefty costs, because in that culture, it was the groom's family who was responsible for the celebration, and they could be sued by the bride's family for not giving a good enough gift to the bride. Well, it's a problem with no easy solution, because here they are in a little country town, Cana, and there's no bottle-o that you can just call up on the mobile phone to deliver. And it's a problem that's going to wreck the whole occasion. All that hard work, all those hopes and dreams. Because how are people going to remember that wedding in the future? You've got it. That was the wedding Grandma and Grandpa ran out of wine. Now, Jesus' mother is at the wedding also, and she says to her older son, she knows he's somehow special in some way because of what happened at his birth. They've run out of wine. And she puts him on the spot, and he gives her this strange answer, which at first looks like a bit of a brush off. He said, "What's it got to do with me? My time hasn't yet come." But she won't take no for an answer, and she just says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, at the wedding, there were these six massive stone jars full of water that were used for washing hands and implements to keep everything clean, ceremonially clean. And Jesus tells the servants to refill these jars to the brim with water, which they do. And then Jesus asks one of the servants to take the water out of the jar and take it to the maitre d', the head waiter. The head waiter tastes it, and lo and behold, the servants have found some more wine. And not just any cheap cask wine with a cardboard box, but rather the best of wines. And he doesn't know where the servants have found this wine, but he calls the bridegroom and he says in astonishment, "You know, most people serve the best wine first, not last, because when people have had a bit to drink, they've, you know, their senses are dulled. But you've kept the best wine till the end. Let the celebration continue. More wine than you could possibly imagine. Like that's 3 or 4 40-gallon drums worth. And Jesus has saved the day. He's rescued the hosts from embarrassment. He's made a good time for the young couple. In fact, he's made the party. He's made the party. Because how will everyone remember that wedding now? Wow, that was the wedding we had that really good wine at the end. Do you remember? Don't let anyone tell you Jesus is some sort of wimpish wowser. He's a great celebrator. But actually, this story is much more than just something to tell us that Jesus is a great celebrator. Because John, who tells us this story, tells us that this is the first sign that Jesus performed. And that this sign reveals his glory, his wonder, his majesty, his greatness. So what's it a sign of? That he was God in human form. That he was the giver of life with a capital L. that he was the creator coming into his creation, proving that he could do what he wanted to with his creation. Yes, all those things. But even much more than that. You see, life was always meant to be a celebration. When God first created the world, he made it good, very good. But people didn't live like God intended them to. People turned their back on God. They did their own thing. They were self-centered. They didn't worship God. And the consequences of that self-centeredness was death. But God, in his great mercy, sent his own son Jesus into his creation, the creator into the creation, to restore that originally intended joy. But there was a price, the penalty, the right penalty for all that self-centeredness, all that wrong, that bad news. It had to be paid, and it was paid on the cross when Jesus himself gave his life, the perfect, for the imperfect. And what Jesus' resurrection from the dead shows is that that penalty has been paid. Death doesn't continue. And if we turn back and put our trust in Jesus, asking him for forgiveness for all the wrong that we've done, we can have confidence that we will be part of his great celebration in life with a capital L. Because Jesus has said that he came that we might have life, life in all its fullness. But if Jesus came to bring this, how come we still live in such a bad world? Is that life that Jesus gave for his followers now, or is it only something we can look forward to? Well, it is something we can look forward to, but what we've got now is just a taste of it. We've got the first fruits of the Spirit, so to speak. One of the problems is that we still live in a broken world. And the full realization of that life won't occur till the end of this world, when Jesus returns to create a whole new world, when his time in all its fullness will come. And the reason Jesus is putting off that return is to give people, people like you and me, a chance to turn back to him. People that are dear to you and me, our kids, our nieces and nephews, our friends. And that wedding celebration at Cana is a taste of the wonderful celebration to come, the great wedding banquet of the Lamb, when we will feast with Jesus forever. Try to imagine all the beautiful things in this world without mar, without any tensions in the family, without anything going wrong, just the perfect things, magnified beyond all possible dreams. That's the great banquet, the great marriage feast of the Lamb. That's what that time will be like at the end of the world. Will you be there? Will you be there? Because he's waiting for men and women and kids to return to him, to put their trust in him. He wants to give them the chance to get things right with God before he brings in that whole new world. Now, John tells us that when his disciples at Cana there first saw this miracle of Jesus, they believed in him. And I want to ask you that same question today. Do you believe in him? Now, you might have committed yourself to Jesus a long time ago, but you've sort of become a bit half-hearted. You may have lost that freshness or vitality. Or you may have lost an understanding of how good the life, the celebration is with Jesus. Some here may have even misunderstood the good news, thinking that somehow we get to heaven, we get to be right with God by doing good works, or by going to church, or by taking communion, or by giving our money to God, not realizing that eternal life is a gift, a great, sumptuous gift from God. Just like that wine was a great, sumptuous gift to everyone there at that marriage at Cana. Totally undeserved. Some here might even be threatened by the good news, thinking that somehow or other it's uncool to be a Christian, or that they'd somehow miss out on some things by being a follower of Jesus. And what I want to urge you today is to take this opportunity when we're celebrating the 150th birthday of this church and of reaching out to the people of Berwick, to take up the invitation afresh that God's offering you to the greatest eternal celebration there'll ever be, by believing in Jesus and becoming his follower. May today not just be a birthday celebration for this church, but the day each one of us recommit ourselves afresh to being his disciple. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.